So imagine you're at your kid's little league game. Maybe it's your grandkid or a friend, but you're at this little league game. It's the bottom of the seventh inning, and the other team is up by 15. If they keep playing, the humiliation and frustration will only grow for the losing team, as well as the widening gap between their scores. And so, what rule comes into effect? The mercy rule, right? The mercy rule comes into effect. The winning team shows mercy to the losing team, and the game ends two innings short, sort of to stop the bleeding, right? It's a merciful way to finish the game. Might be a rule we should look into applying to other things as well, although that's never gained a lot of traction. But mercy. Something we all need at times. Mercy, something we can all give at times. And mercy, something very important to Jesus. We're continuing our series in the Beatitudes, and we hear about mercy today. So listen now as we read our scripture from Matthew chapter 5. As we approach the scriptures, let us pray. Oh Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would speak to us through your word today, and that any words that originate in my heart would fall aside, and only what you speak today would be heard, that we might all walk away changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we are in the Beatitudes. This is right at the very beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For us to understand this beatitude, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. It's no surprise that we actually need to know what mercy is, right? So we start where you start to find out what a word means, the dictionary. And Merriam-Webster says, "Mercy, compassion or forbearance shown especially to an offender or to one subject to one's power." So it's somebody up here showing mercy to someone lower than them. And there's some other definitions that come up using words like it's a disposition to be kind, forgiving. These are all words used to describe our word mercy. But the tricky part is that the way the word mercy is used in the Bible is not simply limited to our modern English definition, but it's a concept that is quite broad. It's quite broad for us when we start looking at what mercy looks like throughout Scripture. So, in the immediate context, right, in Matthew, mercy is often used interchangeably with forgiveness. If you offer mercy, you're offering forgiveness, okay? In Matthew 18, Jesus tells the parable of the unforgiving or unmerciful servant. The master forgives a huge debt of this servant, and the servant is ecstatic. He's super happy about this. And then somebody comes along that owes the servant money, a very small, relatively small amount, and he forces them to pay, puts them in jail because they can't pay. The master finds out about what the servant has done, and he says, "Oh, you unmerciful servant. you're going to prison now for your debt. Because if you don't show mercy, mercy will not be shown to you. It's kind of the same thing this beatitude says, right? If you don't show mercy, then don't expect God to show you mercy. Now, God has been showing mercy ever since he created Adam and Eve. My argument has always been, if God was not merciful in the Old Testament, then the Old Testament would be really, really short. Right after Adam and Eve are created and they sin, it's over. But instead, the Old Testament's actually quite long because of God's merciful actions. And so there are several words that are translated in the Old Testament from Hebrew into English as mercy. It's not a simple one-for-one translation. So we are not going to get a full-on Hebrew lesson this morning, but there's one word that I want you to hear. And you've heard this before, because I know I've talked about this word in the past, but this word is hesed. Hesed is a very big word in the Hebrew language. And its connection with mercy, I'm getting a lot of help from the guys at the Bible Project. If y'all have not found that resource online, there's videos, there's podcasts, all sorts of things available through the Bible Project. And hesed is the word that's usually translated steadfast love. You see that a lot in the Old Testament, depending on the translation you're using. It's translated sometimes loving kindness, loyal love, and sometimes it's translated mercy. So this idea of hesed, the reason it's so helpful for us with mercy is because it opens up a whole new part of the meaning of mercy in Scripture. So it's hesed carries a sense of relationship. It's the sort of love that you share in a covenantal relationship. It's often used to describe the love in the covenant between God and his people. But when we're talking about it in terms of mercy, it brings in that relational aspect to mercy. And so being merciful is in some ways treating someone you like you would if they were part of your family. Even though they're not part of your family, you treat them as though they're part of your family. We're talking about the people you treat nicely in your family, okay? So in the good sense, you treat them as a part of your family. So imagine if you're driving, you're going down the road, you see a stalled car, a couple hundred yards in front, you see somebody walking with a gas can. Do you stop and help them? There's nothing in sight. I mean, this is like way out here in West Texas somewhere. There's nothing in sight. Do you stop and help them? Well, it depends, right? I mean, do you have enough time? How far is it to the gas station? What about my safety? Do I feel safe? Is this person going to hurt me? There's all kinds of questions and things that come up. Now, imagine, same situation, but you recognize the car. In fact, that's your daughter or your wife or your mother or someone close to you. Do you stop and help? Well, of course you do. There's no question. It doesn't matter where you're going. It doesn't matter how much of a hurry you're in. You stop and you help because it's family. And so you're not really showing mercy to your mother or your daughter that you're stopping to help. It's expected of you. That's what you do because you're family, right? Mercy is what you show when you do what's not expected. When you help the person who you're not expected to help necessarily. That's more the idea of mercy. You're treating that other person as though they're family when they're not family exactly. So we see this in the New Testament as well. In Matthew 15, there's a Canaanite woman that comes to Jesus. Canaanite, meaning she's not from the people of Israel. She's not Jewish. She comes to Jesus, and what does she say? She says, "Have mercy on me." What is she meaning? She's meaning, "Jesus, I know that I'm not part of your family, but treat me like I am part of your family. Have mercy on me. Her daughter was possessed by a demon. So we see the same thing in the Good Samaritan, Jesus' probably most famous parable, right? This guy gets beat up, a Jewish guy gets beat up and robbed on the road, left for dead, and this is the short version. Two like really big time religious leaders come by. They see him, but they don't stop. And then the third guy that comes by is a Samaritan, and they don't get along, Jews and Samaritans, and the Samaritan stops, becomes the hero of the story, because he renders aid to this guy. Not just enough, but above and beyond. He does what's completely not expected, right? This guy is not part of his family, but he stops and helps him. And now Jesus told the whole parable in answer to an expert in the law who asked him a question. And the question was, Jesus had said, you got to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he's like, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells this story, the Good Samaritan. And then at the end of the story, he asks the guy, he says, so who acted like a neighbor in the story? And the man answers, well, it was the one who showed mercy. He included this beat up guy on the side of the road into his family as though it were his own family. And he takes care of his needs. That's mercy. Now, I think mercy is a great fit for God's kingdom. It's perfect because by definition, it's acting in a way that's unexpected, like we've been talking about, right? It's upside down. That's one of the ways we talk about God's kingdom. And you see it in the artwork that we have. I left my bulletin over there. The artwork on the screen are upside down trees. The roots are up in the air and the lemons and the fruit are down under because God's kingdom is upside down. I highly recommend you grab one of those cards today with Hannah Hammond's thoughts about mercy and the lemon tree. But mercy really fits because it changes the direction. It changes where everything's expected to go. We say, what do we say when the hurricane is bearing down on a vulnerable island? We say, Lord, have mercy on those people. We're asking God to change what seems inevitable. Make a change in direction of how this is going to go for these poor people in the path of the hurricane. Or the judge chooses to have mercy on a person who's found guilty and everyone's expecting some pretty severe punishment to come, and the judge has mercy and gives a lightened sentence. So maybe we don't know why, but it was unexpected. It's mercy. Just like Jesus healing the Canaanite woman's daughter, or the Samaritan stopping, going above and beyond to help out the Jew who was hurt. Mercy is when everything is pointing this direction and then somebody stops it, changes the direction, and shows mercy. Now, maybe you're thinking, it's actually not that unexpected. I mean, I see this sort of thing happening around quite a bit, even to the point that I kind of expect it sometimes, that people will do what you're saying, like do things that are merciful. And so, yes, I agree. In West Texas, you stop on the side of the road. In most cases, it won't be long before somebody stops to help you, right? Or with the devastating fires and flooding that we've seen in Ruidoso over the last few weeks, folks here and elsewhere around have immediately responded with trailerfuls of all sorts of things, from bottled water to food to clothing, to help out those who have lost everything. And I would say, yes, that's something to celebrate. Yes, that is mercy in action. Just because we have grown to expect it in these cases and we are not necessarily surprised that people respond in these beautiful ways, that doesn't mean it's not mercy. It's still mercy. In fact, it means that in some small way, we're living out God's kingdom values here on earth. What we're seeing is God's kingdom in action. It's not here 100%, but it's coming. And those little glimpses that we see of mercy in the world, that's what we were made for. That's what we're hoping for. That's what we all long for more of. So we celebrate that. God says through the prophet Hosea that he desires mercy, not sacrifice. And now Jesus quotes that same prophecy in what Jill read for us a little bit earlier. Jesus is explaining why he's eating with the tax collectors and sinners. And he says, I haven't come to for the healthy. They don't need a doctor. It's the sick who need a doctor. And then he says, it's kind of funny. He says, go figure out what this means. You know, the scriptures that these Pharisees are saying that they are living their lives by, right? And Jesus says, no, go figure out what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. The Pharisees had put all of their attention on the sacrifice. What are they offering to God? And they make their sacrifices top-notch. I mean, everything's perfect. But they're neglecting the people around them. They're not showing mercy to the very people right in front of them. And Jesus said, you've got it all wrong. It's not that God doesn't want any sacrifice, but he wants you to show mercy to the people around you. I desire mercy first, not sacrifice. So you're probably picking up on it by now that a lot of good comes from showing mercy in the world. Help, otherwise unavailable to those in need. God's kingdom showing up in surprising ways. This is mercy in the world. And there's good motivation there. Lots of good happens when we show mercy. That's why we should do it. But there's another motivation too. It's very clear in this beatitude. It says that those who are merciful will be shown mercy. So if we show mercy to others, then God will show mercy to us. And we don't want to take this out of context. We don't want to use this as some like simple little formula. Well, I show mercy, then God's obligated. He's got to show me mercy. No, God, look, I showed mercy. You know, bring it on. I'm ready. It's not a formula. It's not something we can shake in God's face. There's probably actually, that's a pretty good thing to avoid all the time. But it's not meant to be a simple equation. But let's be clear, forgiveness for our sins comes through Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he has given on the cross. That's where our salvation comes from, and it's God's mercy is not based simply on how much we have shown mercy to others. That is a part of it, and I think it's clear that's expected of us to act with mercy. But it is a bit of a chicken and an egg question. So do I show mercy because God has shown me mercy? Is it my response? Yes. And do I receive mercy because I've shown mercy to others? Yes. And so it's a circle. It's a cycle like this. And where does it start? Oh, I'm not sure. But it's a merciful cycle. As we receive and we give mercy time and time again. In fact, the beauty of God's kingdom is that I believe mercy is flowing all the time in all directions. That we don't just receive it. We don't just stack it up inside, but we're pouring it out constantly in all sorts of situations. Now, there are times when I believe it is the wise option for us to hold back, maybe show less mercy to someone given a certain circumstance. Now, parents, we do this all the time with our children, right? Mercy is not always the answer, the best answer in parenting. And so we hold back and our kids get punished. Our kids face consequences and we get it wrong probably most of the time. I mean, if you're like me as a parent, we don't always get it right. But we try to balance that. And even Jesus, later in this very same sermon, talks about judging other people. And he says, hold on, be careful. Don't be judging other people, holding them to some standard that you've not yet held yourself to. He says, you know, take the plank out of your eye before you start going after that little splinter in somebody else's eye. Jesus says he's not saying don't judge ever. He just says, make sure that when you judge, you've judged yourself first. So the implication is that it's expected. God's given us a brain. He's filled us with wisdom. He expects us to make some good decisions, discerning what we do in relationships with other people. So I think we may withhold mercy in some ways from a person, but we want to do it for the right motivation. We want to do it out of wisdom. And at the same time, we want to keep our hearts full of mercy, even though we're maybe withholding some of it in a particular relationship. If the time comes that we need to show less mercy to someone, let it be because we've made that decision out of wisdom, not because we're lacking mercy. I think we can still be merciful, full of mercy, and not give all of it away every time. Hoping that makes a little sense. So be on the lookout for opportunities to show mercy. I mean, that part of this lesson today, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. That's so clear. Think about your own life, specifically the people God has placed in your life. Has God given you the power or the position to be able to make a difference for someone by showing up with some mercy? Maybe an opportunity you've not taken advantage of yet. Maybe it's a person or a group of people somewhere that you could change direction for by acting in mercy, by treating them as though they're part of your family, by going above and beyond to make a difference with mercy. Who might that be for you today? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful for you looking upon us with mercy. Our right response is to do the same to others, and so we ask for your help in reflecting your beautiful mercy to others, those whom you've placed in front of us. Help us, Lord, to see who we need to show mercy to today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.